You know that song we sung this morning? I love that song. I love it when we sing some of the old hymns. It is well with my soul this morning. Isn't that a beautiful, awesome, wonderful song? I love it. It is well. I don't sing very well, but with my soul, it is well. I wish I could say that in complete entirety and honestly, that it is just well with my soul right now this morning. But I'm going to be honest, very honest with you. I am so struggling, been struggling for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, because I'm trying to avoid something. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever had one of those times that you're just trying to avoid something and you're doing everything you can to avoid it, but the more you try to avoid, the more it gets pushed into your face? Has anyone else experienced that? I am experiencing that times like 20 right now. It's actually getting really crazy and aggravating, and so I am finally just going to lay it down, lay it out there, and I'm going to start. I'm going to do this thing, and I am so very incredibly uncomfortable and at unease with my soul right now, because it just bothers me. And so I'm thinking in my mind right now, I'm stalling. Can you tell how bad I'm stalling right now? I'm thinking in my mind, if I am that uncomfortable, if I am that unsure, if it makes me so uneasy in my soul, I'm starting to think and I'm starting to really believe it's not from God that I'm uncomfortable and uneasy in my soul. I'm really starting to think in my deepest soul, in my deepest heart, I really think that uncomfortableness and that strong desire not to go where I'm going is not from God. I'm really starting to think it's from the other side, the down under, the Satan part, because I don't think he wants us to talk about this, because if we talk about this, then all of a sudden lives are going to change in a radical way if we accept it. If we don't accept it, if we have that same angst in our being that we kind of push it aside and say, no, I don't believe this part, then I have a feeling that we're going to continue to be not well in our soul in so many different ways. And I say that because I'm seeing a very scary trend in our world, and not just in our world, but in our church. And it's been bothering me really, really deeply for the last several weeks, months, and actually even years, because this trend has been growing and I'm not sure what to do with it. And I think a lot of it might have to do with my uneasiness in my soul of where I'm going, because nobody wants to talk about this, especially not me. Here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing missing people. Last week, and it's not about numbers, understand me. Last week was a huge gut check in my heart at our church. There are so many missing people. And I know there's lots of places to be and lots of things to do and all this, but it's concerning me because the decline has been very steady for the last year and a half, 2 years, whether you recognize it or not. Here's the thing. I don't want to say I obsess over it at times, but I do at times because it concerns me, because people and their attendance is an indicator of health in so many different ways. Does everyone agree with that? It can be an indicator, not the greatest indicator, but it can be an indicator of health. And here's the thing, what's happened when I call or when I visit with these people that seem to be missing, or when I have an opportunity, something continually creeps its head up and I'm seeing it. And it's not just here at Walnut Community Bible Church. This is as a whole in our world and in churches that are going on. I talk to pastors, I talk with people in different places, and it's going on over and over and over again, is that people are feeling so unhappy. Have you noticed that? There's a sense of unhappiness in our world. I wrote down all these different words. I'm going to say every one of them here. I see a dissatisfaction. They're dissatisfied with what's going on in their life. They just seem overall dissatisfied. Not everyone, but it seems like a general feeling that's starting to happen. They're feeling disappointed or disillusioned. They're feeling distracted. Is anyone else catching on with this with me? They're feeling worried. There's an overwhelming sense of worry and dissatisfaction. a lack of assurance. And it seems like there's a sense of disillusionment in our world today. Is anyone else seeing this? I feel like it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger in our world. And something has to happen. One of the words that we have on the wheel, and I'm not going into another series on the wheel, but one of the words, it's the top left-hand corner of your bulletin, is the word joyous. Joyous. That we are to live with joy. And joy, being joyous, I think really trumps all these other things. If we can start figuring out a way to live in true joy, not happiness, true joy, I think the disillusionment, the lacking of assurance, the worry, the disappointment, the dissatisfaction, the distraction, and this unhappiness that we seem to be experiencing in so many different ways starts to disappear when we find joy. Live in true and utter joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How does that happen? So I've been praying about it, thinking about it. And you guys know I'm one of those guys, I'm one of those pastors who's, I'm not trying to be degrading to myself or anything like that. I don't have this big plan. I remember, and I have told you this before, when I was in seminary, I helped at Jefferson Street Christian Church there in Lincoln. I was on the worship team staff, and I did the skits and wrote skits and got people to do the skits and all these different things, and I was a part of that. And I'm not kidding. The pastor there, his name was Doug Maris, and it was just an amazing thing to me because Doug, at the beginning, actually not at the beginning of the year, in December, like mid-December, he would give to the worship team, all the people that were designing the worship service, he would give to them this sheet and a half piece of paper for the coming year. All right, for the entire coming year, the whole next year, he would give them this piece of paper. And am I stalling? Holy cow, can you tell how bad I'm stalling? He would give them this piece of paper, and he would design. He had every week designed for the entire coming year, not just the topic of his sermon, but also the passage of scripture of his sermon and the points, like the three main points that he had for the sermon. He had the entire year planned out. And I remember thinking, man, this is going to be so cool. And I'm going to do that same thing so they can plan out and have everything. So everything fit together so wonderfully and amazing. And, you know, everyone knew what was coming and that. I feel like if I knew what I was preaching on Friday for sure, I'm doing good right now. And I'm not joking. And actually, sometimes it's Saturday. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until yesterday, not that I haven't been planning and studying, but I've been trying to avoid this thing like the plague, and I can't. Here's what's happened. For the last 2 weeks, I've been walking to the church every day, not every day, because sometimes I just don't come in. But most every day that I come in, how's that? Every day that I come in, I have to walk through the doors because you're outside if you don't walk through the doors, right? And so every day when I come in, there's been a sign on the door every day that I walk in, and it was for yesterday, this weekend's rummage sale. And what did the sign say? Do you remember? You wrote it, right, Karen? We need your treasures. We need your treasures. And so every day I walk through the door and I saw this sign that says, we need your treasures for the rummage sale, donate. And it's, you know, the whole nine yards. And I walked through and I read that almost every day. And there was something that went like that whenever I walked through the door. And then Nathan, wow. If you want to hear the whole series that we're probably going to be getting into for the next few weeks, if you just want to summarize and skip the next several weeks, please don't do that. That would just be really bad. But Nathan is so amazing that he's able to write down what it takes me probably 3 weeks or maybe, I don't know, more, maybe less. He's able to summarize it very quickly in a newsletter article. So if you haven't picked up a newsletter, you might want to pick one of those up. He didn't flesh it out as deeply as we might hear in the next few weeks, but guess what? His little thing on the top of his newsletter, does anyone know what it is? Has anyone read it yet? It says what? Buried treasures. And he wrote this amazing article on buried treasures. And for the last several weeks and months, we've been struggling as a church. And I'm not, okay, you got to understand this. They're kind of related, but not. But we've been struggling as a church financially. Actually, we have been for quite a while, actually a long time. But it's never affected us quite like it is right now. And I hate it when we have visitors and this is like the first time. And then all of a sudden I'm talking about it. It just drives me crazy because, and I'm not. Here's the thing. I am not asking you to give to fix this problem. I'm not doing that. All right. But we're struggling. But here's the thing. We can't quite understand because the giving hasn't changed. And maybe our spending has increased a little bit. But there's something going on, guys. And we've been talking about it in our board meetings for the last several months about what's going on. What has changed? What's happening that we find ourselves in this situation? Okay, and so we've been talking about that at length. And we're going to be talking about it at length today about, okay, since we're not really the giving part of it, we're not what needs to change? What needs to be cut? What sacred cow are we hanging on to that needs to maybe disappear in some way, shape, or form, because we've got to figure it out. We've gone in debt to ourselves, and that's not a good thing. We need to get out of debt to ourselves before we can move on, and that's not good. But the thing that has sent me over the edge is, and this did, it sent me over, two things have sent me over the edge this last couple weeks. So we got the poster on the window. We got Nathan writing the article. And we got a gift. This is weird. We've got a gift from a missionary. A missionary? So some missionaries sent us a gift. Literally, they sent us a gift. And I don't even know who they are. They're not any of the people over on the board or anything like that. Their names are, I wrote it down. Their names are Mike and Seuss Schmidt. Does anyone know who they are? Raise your hand if you know who they are. Mike and Susan maybe Schmidt. Does anyone? You know who they are?
Yeah, they're with Campus Crusade.
Okay. Do they have any affiliation with us at all?
We sent their money.
We did. Good. So they sent us a gift. It was a book. They sent us a book with no strings attached. It was very, very strange. It was just like we felt like we needed to send this to you. And it is called, get this, The Treasure Principle by something Alcorn. What? Randy Alcorn. And I have started in the last 10 years, boy, am I stalling. Can you tell how bad I'm stalling? I have started in the last 10 years, I bet you, I'm not exaggerating, probably 50 to 100 books. You notice what I said? I didn't read 50 to 100 books. I have what?
Started
probably 50 to 100 books. And you know how many I've finished probably in the last 10 or 15 years? Finished? That means read from the beginning to the end? Probably less than 5. There's always something in them that I just... And I have a hard time completely finishing them. I finished the book in less than 2 days. But the thing that has got me more than anything, that I can't avoid this, is because Terry is here this morning. And you know why it's you, Terry? I walked in and I started bawling. Because Terry is with me this morning. You know why? Who do you work for, Terry? You work for who? Say it real loud. You work for FedEx. This is crazy. All right, so I'm not picking on you, Terry, but it's been a while since you've been here, right? Do you know how long? It's been a while. I can tell you, but I'm not going to tell you the number. But it's been a while. And for Terry to be here this morning, is God going like this? Stand up, Anthony. All right. Turn around, Anthony. It's like God going like this.
Gah! Oh, thank you. I didn't do it, but it, they got the point.
Thank you.
Yes, all right. Because in the book is a great book. You should all pick it up and start reading it. In the book, he's got dozens, if not 20s and 30s and 40s of amazing illustrations. But the one illustration that got me, that just, I don't know why of all the illustrations, this one stood out to me. It was the illustration of FedEx, a FedEx man like yourself. What do you, you go deliver packages, don't you? And the illustration that they gave me was this, how would you like it if you had a package and you paid for it, it belonged to you, and you were wanting to send it to somebody. You had this package that was very valuable to you, very important to you. You spent a lot of time and energy putting that package together, and you entrusted FedEx, and you gave it to them, and they were supposed to deliver it to someone who was also extremely important to you and really needs that package. You all have the understanding, right? How would you feel if your FedEx, if Terry, receiving that package, all of a sudden decided, I'm just going to keep this one. And he just took it home, and he unwrapped it, and he's like, wow, this is really awesome, and I'm gonna keep this package, and this one package is going to be mine, and I love this package. I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to put it on the wall, or I'm going to do whatever I want, because now this is my... Is that a good thing? How many of you would love your Terry if he did that to you? Terry, how long do you think you would work for FedEx if you started doing that? Do you think you would get Employee of the Month? Do you think you would be invited to the Christmas party? Do you think you would get a raise? Do you think you would have a job very long? Do you think they would kick you out of the company fairly soon? Do you think they'd give you a warning before they did that? Probably not. Okay, so that was the illustration that stuck with me because I was thinking of Terry. And it's still, I don't want to talk about this because it makes me feel uncomfortable and it makes me not want to. And I grew up in church where that's all they talked about and it just drove me crazy and it turned me off and I'm never going to do that and I never want to do that and I'm every excuse I can. And I'm telling that to Nathan and Nathan can stand up and attest to this because we're sitting in the office and I'm telling him kind of roundabout way of what I'm thinking about. And all of a sudden, what happened, Nathan? Do you remember? No, not this morning, Friday. We're sitting there. We're sitting there at my desk and we're talking and all of a sudden I start laughing. I mean, not just, do you remember this? I start belly laughing and lay my head down and said, no, Lord, no, Lord. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. This, no way, because I'm feeling so uncomfortable and all this sort of stuff. And all of a sudden I start laughing and Nathan looks at me like I'm possessed. Didn't you? And you're like, what is wrong? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh my gosh. What happened was we're talking and I'm looking forward and, you know, in front of my desk are the glass windows. And in the glass windows, as we're talking and me trying to avoid what we're talking about today, and y'all know it already, what I'm trying to talk about, guess what? The reflection that's coming through my back window at my back and is now in the reflection of the window in front of me, guess what it was? A FedEx, you are rocking with me, visitor. All right, a FedEx truck. Not a big deal, except the FedEx truck, and I'm laughing now. I'm laughing. The FedEx truck went by my window, and that's what made me start laughing. But the FedEx truck doesn't just go by my window. All of a sudden, I look, and I'm looking at the reflection now, thinking, wow, that was really weird. The FedEx truck backs up in the reflection. The FedEx truck comes forward again through the reflection. The FedEx truck turns into the parking lot between the fire department and the church and stops. Now I'm a reasonable man. And after a few hours, I was able to dismiss that coincidence. Dismiss it. That was not a sign from God. That was just a coincidence, a coinkydink, I like to call them. Guess what I've seen for the last 2 days? FedEx trucks everywhere. And I mean everywhere. I went to the Quad Cities for a surgery for someone. On the way to the surgery, I got passed by 2 FedEx trucks. Passed. Eldon Cook was passed by 2 FedEx trucks. Saw them all over. But yesterday was the kicker because I'm still fighting it. Still fighting it. Yesterday was the kicker. So I'm out in the middle of nowhere, out in the country. I'm coming up to 92. And I'm literally still fighting it in my mind because it's Saturday and tomorrow's Sunday and I got to preach. And I'm thinking, I can preach on something else. I can do that. I don't want to do this. I'm going to preach on something else. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I can, you know, all those FedEx trucks, those were just coincidences. I'm going to do it. And so I pull up to the stop sign where a back road meets 92. And guess what goes down the road on 92 yesterday? A FedEx truck. And I said, Lord, that's really funny. But I'm not convinced. So I cross 92. I'm heading north. I get to Baseline Road. And what do you think I met? Not the same FedEx truck. Another one. I say that with all humility and intrepidation because this is not my subject. It's not my subject. But it is God's. And there's something really amazing that we've got to understand, that all these emotions that I said, the dissatisfied, the disappointed, the worried, the lacking assurance, the disillusionment, the distracted, the unhappy, the unjoyful, I'm starting to think that they're directly correlated to our treasure and what we treasure and what's important to us. Now, there's a neat little passage in Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus says it so quickly, and you're all thinking, man, I wish you could. He says it so quickly. Matthew chapter 13. It takes him one verse to say this. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Don't shut down. Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, and this is Jesus talking. This isn't Eldon. This is Jesus talking. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like, listen to what he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. And when a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Did you hear that? It seems like a pretty simple one verse little parable. Jesus says that a man found a treasure. He's walking along. He's cutting across the field. For some reason, I don't know if it's his walking stick, but he finds a treasure. He unburies the treasure. He looks inside. It is plumb packed with goodies. I'm not talking Hostess ho-hos and ding-dongs. I'm talking it's plumb full of treasure, expensive treasure, amazing treasure. And he knows he can't take it because that would be illegal. So he's got a little bit of scruples. But he does realize that if he owned the field, he owns everything with the field. So he takes the treasure and he buries it back down the ground. He covers it up and he's not being dishonest. He's being kind of smart. He says, you know what? I'm going to sell everything I have. I'm going to sell all of it. I'm going to sell my house. I'm going to sell the farm I own. I'm going to sell my ox, my plow. I'm going to sell my CDs. I'm going to sell my cash in my insurance pot. I'm going to sell everything I have in order to buy that field and that treasure, because that treasure is so much more valuable than all these other things that I have. If I have that treasure, it will far surpass everything else that I've got. I'm going to do that. And you might be thinking, oh my goodness, you can't do that. You can't sell everything. You can't get rid of all that stuff that you've accumulated. Those things are important. You need those things. He's not doing it out of grudgery. He's not doing it out of fear. He's not thinking, oh my goodness, how will I survive? He's doing it with what word does it say? What word does it say?
Joy.
He's saying, I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to get rid of everything with joy because I recognize the treasure that is here is so much more valuable than the treasure that is here. The treasures that I've accumulated are worthless in not worthless. They have value, but they're nothing in comparison with the treasure that is here. And so many people look at that illustration and say, well, that's Jesus talking about his willingness to come down and give up everything and give his life for us because we are that treasure. You know, he values us so much that he's willing to give up his very life so that we, yes, and I get that, and you can interpret it that way, and that's wonderful, and that's great. And some people look at it from other different perspectives, but here's the basic facts. You know what? When Jesus speaks, this fact amazed me. 15% of everything that Jesus says throughout the Gospels, 15% of it deals with something. What do you think it is? Money and finances. And that's not even including all the rest of the passages in the New Testament. It's amazing where it's at. So there is a direct correlation, and we don't like to talk about it. We want to say that finances and faith are separated, but finances and faith are not separated. As a matter of fact, they are so connected that it's there over and over again. If you don't believe me, take a look with me real quick in Luke chapter 3, very quickly. John the Baptist, Luke chapter 3. You just got to see this. I never recognized this before. I never saw it. Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist is nailing. Man, he is preaching it. He is preaching it hard. He's bringing down the house. You know what I'm saying? And crowds are gathering and people are getting convicted. And they're like, oh my gosh, if this is true, and it is true what John the Baptist is talking about, if this is true, what must we do? What do we need to do here? It says, as a matter of fact, in verse 11, John answered the man go back to verse 10. He's preaching it, and all of a sudden someone gets brave enough to interrupt John and says, what should we do then? What are we supposed to do if all this stuff is true, that there's a salvation that is coming and the Christ is near? What do we need to do? What do we need to do? And did John say, repent and be baptized? Because that's what he was doing. Remember, he was saying, repent and be baptized. He, that was his big thing. John the what? Baptist. Well, there we go. You would think he would say, be baptized. What does he say? What should we do then? John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none. And the one who has food should do the same. Wow. Really? And then all of a sudden the tax collector, he goes, oh! He says, the tax collector who also came to be baptized says, teacher, they asked, what should we do? The tax collector, what should we do? And John the Baptist says this. He says, don't collect any more than you're required to, he told them. Wow, that's verse 14. Then soldiers asked him, and what should we do? I'm not a tax collector. I'm not one of those guys with two tunics. But we protect. What should we do? Again, John doesn't say repent, be baptized. Listen to what he says to the soldiers. Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Isn't it kind of interesting that three questions of three different groups of people asking, what must we do to get right in the spiritual realm? What must we do to prepare, to get ready, get ourselves ready to receive this amazing gift in Jesus? And all three times, John the Baptist gives financial advice. Think about it. All three times he gives financial advice, right? Financial advice. Why is that? You see, he does it because there is a connection between, we don't want to say this, we don't want to admit this, we don't want to hear this, but there is undoubtedly, without a whisper of doubt, there is a connection between our spiritual lives and how we handle our finances. You can't divorce faith and finances. They're connected. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm learning it. Is because I'm starting to find out about myself that my aversion to talking about this, I don't think it's from God. I've got problems with my finances. I'm not, when I say that, I don't mean, I have a money problem. And when I say that, I'm not talking about I'm overspending or I'm greedy for money, but I have been greedy for money. I hope I'm not now. I try to guard against it. But I used to be a thief. Do you guys remember that story? I was a thief. And I'm not saying that jokingly, I was a thief. I stole money regularly from my family. From my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sisters. I would literally get into their purses and their places where they kept money, and I would take money out. I would steal it. And I didn't do it just a few times. I did it a lot. And I've never been able to forget that. I'll never be able to forget my sister grabbing me by the shirt. She's not here today, is she? She could give you the account. You probably heard it, haven't you, Anthony? Playtime, yes. Yes, my legacy with my sister that I now stand up with, how she can ever even listen to me preach is amazing to me. But my sister grabbed me by the shirt one day, and she grabbed me and she threw me. Thankfully, it was on the bed and not the floor. And she bounced me up and she says, "If you ever get into my purse again, I will kill you." Sounds funny now, but it wasn't then. I remember my mom with tears grabbing me by the hair, with tears dragging me out to the car, throwing me into the seat, driving me to the jail in Princeton, parking in the parking lot, and saying, "This is where you're headed if you continue." It made an impression to the point where I am probably hypersensitive in so many ways about finances. But not to the point where this book has led me. Because this book is not about throwing guilt. It's about redirecting our hearts. Our hearts. There's a passage in Matthew 6. We're just getting started. Not this morning. We're almost done this morning, but we're just getting started. You're thinking, holy cow, all right. We're just introducing what's coming. Everyone's like, okay, where can we go for the next several weeks? You know what? I hope you're here. And I hope you're here with open hearts. Because it says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, he says, listen to what he says. He says, do not. Jesus commands us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't do it. Where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves cannot and do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, these treasures, lead our hearts. And it's such an amazing thing to me what Jesus is saying. He says, don't let your heart be directed by things that won't last, that won't bring you lasting joy, that won't be there all the time. You see, everything, and this is such a hard thing for me to say because I feel like in some, I won't get there. It won't last. Everything that we've accumulated, everything that we're working so hard for, everything that we think is going to, has anything that you have gotten brought you lasting joy? Be honest. Be real honest, because if there was something that you found, something that you were able to get that brought you lasting joy, that would mean there is nothing else that you would need or want. Seriously. Think about it just for a second. If that one thing that you wanted and desired and pined for and just thought, this is it, this is the one thing, whatever it is there one thing, even a child, okay? Even a child. Remember what he says? Anyone who's not willing to leave mother, father, even their children, even a child. Is there one thing that you have ever received that was the all in all? That just made you say, I'm done here. It's all over. I'm done. I don't need anything else. I don't think there is, because we still want. We still think maybe this will help or maybe this will help, but it won't. Here's the plain, simple truth. It won't. Never will and can't. It's impossible. Because all the things on this earth, everything that we've got here, is going to be destroyed. It's all going to burn. Do you hear me? All of it. Everything that we're working so hard for, everything that we're accumulating, there is not one thing, not one thing that you're going to take with you. When the end comes, it's all going to be destroyed. It's all going to disappear. It's gone. You know, Howard Hughes, did he die? Okay, when he dies, there was this interesting thing. They said, well, how much did he leave? How much did he really leave behind?
All of it.
He didn't take anything with him. But he says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You can't take it with you. I love this principle. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. Let me say that again. Say it with me. You can't take it with you, but you can send it ahead. And what that means is you can start storing up treasures in heaven. Literal treasures in heaven by investing in eternal things. Now, some people are thinking, Eldon's saying we need to give more to the church. No, I'm not. I'm saying you need to invest in eternal things that God is leading you to. If the church is part of that, yes, that's important. Yes, I get that. But it's so much more. So much more. And what happens is when we start investing in eternal things, just like the guy who sold everything, got rid of all of it. And how did he get rid of it? With what? With joy. When we start investing in eternal things and laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, and yes, that is very selfish. It sounds very selfish, but, it shouldn't be about treasures in heaven. It's all about Jesus. Yes, I totally agree, but Jesus even says, he says, Jesus says, yes, it's all about him. Yes, he is our treasure. Yes, heaven is a great reward. I get that. I understand that. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, but store up for yourselves. He says, store up for yourselves. Invest yourselves for yourself in treasures in heaven. Store them up. Because if we are investing in eternal things, is our mind really on the treasure? It's really on God. And what does he really want? He wants us to seek him first, right? That our hearts be in tune with him. Because we can't invest in eternal things if he's not prompting us. And if he's not prompting us, we're not going to invest in him. But if he prompts us, our hearts are in tune with him. We don't have to get run over by a FedEx truck. Hear me. I'm joking about that, but I'm serious. I think the next step, if I didn't get it yesterday after the second truck went by, I think I would have been run over by a FedEx truck. I know that sounds silly, but I'm actually pretty serious. Because I didn't get it after all those chances, the only thing that was going to get it is pow. I hope what happens this week, I'm done. I hope what happens this week is that this message, the beginning of this message, is going to make an impression. And my prayer this week is that you see hundreds of FedEx trucks. Hundreds. I hope they are popping out of the woodwork at every stoplight. And I hope in my heart of hearts that he is going to remind you and impress upon you, this is not Eldon Cook's agenda. My desire is for your heart. My desire is that you would store up your treasures that will last for eternity. So consider yourself forewarned. The next couple weeks, we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it honestly and openly and real. I would say invite a friend. Because I'm going to preach the truth. I'm going to preach the truth, not Eldon's truth, the truth of God's word. And Satan is not going to win. I refuse to let him win. In my heart and in yours, I'm going to battle. And I ask that you help come battle with me. Amen? FedEx trucks all the way. Let's stand and sing.